JT, live in Vegas.
From the Las Vegas Strip, right to our studios on Flamingo.
Woohoo!
I'm here because I got to put two kids through college.
LeBron.
We ask everybody to participate, from Uber drivers to taxi drivers to bartenders. I mean, I never slow down. I stand up in the studio. I'm excited to be on the radio. I like energetic callers who have opinions. Sound off like you got a pair.
Woohoo!
Oh, I'm cranky Yankee. How do the Yankees lose a game like this? Are you kidding me?
And now, live from Las Vegas, here's JT the Brick.
JT with you. Good to have you. Appreciate it tonight. The summer of LeBron continues, mixed in and sprinkled in with Vegas Golden Knights free agency, the World Cup, where I spent most of my day today and can't get it back, and Boogie Cousins ended up going to the Warriors as the rich get richer. Hope you're having a great day. We're here every day because of Golden Entertainment and all their properties that they own, from the Stratosphere, Arizona Charlie's, now to 58 or 59 PT Sierra Golds. They'll be at 60 soon. They're getting you ready for what will be one of the best fantasy draft opportunities in the history of Vegas, with their draft kits, the drink specials, the value that they have, the size of their venues coming up. If you're putting together a fantasy football draft, count on me and PTs to have you completely set up here. And that's right around the corner. As we're going to come through the 4th of July, we're going to come out of that. We'll be up in Napa at Raiders training camp, and then it's on. Preseason football in August, and then this show turns into a Raiders radio show before any other show to hit the ground Raiders in Vegas. And we go balls out 5 days a week, unless there's breaking news on something bigger, which probably will happen from time to time. But we are Raiders on the radio as that stadium is being built and this team is coming here after just two more seasons. A lot of directions I want to go in. I'd like you to start calling and dialing more. Dial now so I'm ready when I finish the monologue to talk to you. 876-1340 is the number. 876-1340. Twitter at JT the Brick. And I'm also on Facebook at JT the Brick. Last night was interesting. When I'm on at night, there are times when stories break. They don't break in the morning. They break in the afternoon or night. Last night, the Boogie Cousins deal with the Warriors broke on the show when I was planning on mostly doing LeBron, because it was all LeBron to the Lakers. And you would think today, tomorrow, the remainder of the week, it's still about LeBron. LeBron is his own brand that seems to be as big as other leagues. I think LeBron's bigger than NASCAR now. It's bigger than the MLS. I think LeBron by itself is bigger than some leagues and teams that we cover. But Boogie Cousins going to the Warriors set off a firestorm last night of people just fed up. It felt like on the radio, people's heads were popping with anxiety and they were upset because they feel like the Warriors are gaining an unfair advantage. And that happens from time to time in sports. I'm a good example of it. I've been moaning about it and whining about it with the Patriots for 15 years. I'm sick and tired of the Patriots. Not because the Patriots are so good and they win. It's because the rest of their division is inept and can't get anything going. I mean, how many times have the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Bills had a chance for free agency, a draft, a new head coach, and they can't do it, and New England continues to just run away with everything? Well, we're getting to that point with the Warriors, where the Warriors, if they can find a way to keep their guys there long-term and they remain healthy, are so much better than the next team, the second, third, fourth, fifth team on the list, that they're probably not going to lose. And the hook is, if they're able to convince players to play for less money to go ring chasing up in the Bay Area, then it's over. Now, how did the Warriors get there? They did it with smarts. I mean, Bob Myers, the GM, is a really sharp guy. Steve Kerr, the head coach, really sharp guy. And they've put in a lot of work. And they did get a little bit lucky because more GMs, we only needed one or two more GMs to say, wow, the Steph Curry's good. Let's take him before the Warriors do. Nobody did. They got him. It was the same thing about Tom Brady in the sixth round. No one wanted Brady in the fifth, fourth, third, second. No. And the Patriots didn't even want Brady. He just fell to him in the sixth round. If the Patriots really cared about Brady, they would have traded up into the fifth round to get him. They didn't even know. They didn't even think he was good enough to play until Bledsoe got hurt. But the Warriors drafted Steph Curry. They got Klay Thompson as a late first rounder. They got Draymond Green in the second round. So by drafting a limited amount of players, the NBA has a much smaller roster than the NFL. And for them to hit on three all-stars and future Hall of Famers, it gave the franchise the base to go out and recruit a free agent or two at the right time. Well, they go out and recruit Kevin Durant. And Durant was an interesting decision. He was at OKC. They were pretty close. And he could have went back to the nation's capital and played for his hometown Wizards. But Durant took a little bit less money and went to the Warriors to chase rings. And it turned out to be one of the smartest moves that I've seen in the last 10 or 15 years of my career. Because if you remember, Durant took a lot of heat for leaving. Oh, he's taking the easy way out. Barkley smashed him every night he was on TV for taking the easy way out. But after he won back-to-back titles and back-to-back MVPs, now we're all forgetting about it, right? We moved on to LeBron, LeBron, LeBron. We're moving on to Boogie Cousins today. We're not talking about Durant anymore, taking the easy road. So LeBron decides to go to L.A., and then Boogie Cousins, because reportedly the phone wasn't ringing, he's coming off ACL surgery, a really serious surgery. No one wanted him. He ends up taking a minimum deal for $5.3 million to go to the Warriors, where he won't play. He will not play when the season starts. So when you look at the beginning of the year, you will not see him in November, December, January, most likely. He'll come back after the All-Star break, and he'll be their push towards the one seed and the top seed and probably the NBA title. And he's doing this for the right reasons. Every man, this is the Titanic. You better get your family first on a lifeboat. You better put the vest on your kids first and then get on that boat with them. Because if you don't go ring chasing now, good. You don't have to be a ring chaser. You can be a proud, private guy who just wants to win the hard way. You're not going to win. At least in the NBA. Baseball, it's a crapshoot. You know, guys foul pop out, guys strike out, guys get hurt. Baseball, it takes a lot to win. You need everybody clicking, a pitching staff, middle relief, a closer. Basketball, you need three all-stars, maybe four. And now with Boogie Cousins, they got five. And then their bench has Andre Iguodala, who won an MVP in the NBA Finals. Sean Livingston, who's going to maybe, when it's all said and done, have four or five rings. And they're picking and choosing at the end of their bench, Jordan Bell, Swaggy P. They let go of JaVale McGee after a couple of rings. They bring in a new guy. They're loaded. So I just wanted to tell you that as we open the show tonight. I got more pushback from DeMarcus Cousins going to the Warriors than LeBron James going to the Lakers. What bothers you more today, Vegas? LeBron in L.A. or Boogie with the reigning champs, 876-1340. Again, I'm not guessing. I know out loud there are Warrior fans in this town and more Laker fans than any other NBA fans out there. And most Laker fans are pretty happy about this. Other Laker fans are Kobe fans or Magic fans. They're Kareem fans. But I could tell you, every Warrior fan that I tweeted with and texted with and talked to, they're thrilled about Boogie Cousins because they already had Durant come. They've already had David West come. They've already had other outsiders come on. So the Warriors are sitting back, just kicking back, saying, hey, more the merrier. We need your help going forward as we move into a new arena. So I'm pretty impressed with Boogie Cousins' decision. And now today the blowback was, well, it's not going to make the Warriors much better. Are you nuts? You ever watch Boogie Cousins give you 25, 13, and 5? That helps you a lot. Dave Pingelor, kind enough to join us, the great sports anchor now at KTLA in Los Angeles. And Dave, I thought of you. You're one of the first friends of mine I thought of on the LeBron news. First, did you sense this was coming, and how big of a story has it been the last 48 hours?
I've always had a sense. I mean, I got here last year from Orlando, as we've talked through the years. And I worked in Cleveland. I've covered LeBron through 05, the end of 05 season through their NBA Finals in 07. So I always had a sense, look, he's a
Let's get Dave on a better line. Dave, we got to get you on a better line. We only have this issue a little bit of the time here. We got to get you on a clean phone line because I want to hear about this. As Dave was saying, Dave has covered LeBron James not only in Cleveland, but he was covering the NBA in Orlando, and now he's a sports anchor in Los Angeles at KTLA. And I think a big topic I covered last night, the media in LA, is where you get a lot of your media for sports, right? They have a West Coast Sports Center. They have Fox. They have Fox Sports One. They have ESPN Radio. Fox Sports Radio, where I work, is based there. And now everybody's going to be talking about LeBron James around the clock because L.A. is a media hub. And, Dave, you're now at the top of that media hub in Los Angeles where I think the LeBron coverage is going to be off the charts more than ever.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy here with LeBron. My playoff team immediately. I mean, but it's interesting. Vegas is getting 7-2. You can't beat the Warriors. You can't beat them. I mean, I heard you talk about, you know, getting Boogie Cousins. You can't – I don't – in order to beat the Warriors, you need to get this team stacked and for the Lakers. And I don't know if they're going to be able to do that or not. But I think it was just a pure decision just to come here from – I think it was a family decision. I think his wife, Savannah, played a big role in it. I think his children played a big role in it. They want to live in Los Angeles instead of living in Cleveland. I think that had a lot to do with him coming here. And before I know we got a bad signal here, I'm going up to the Dodger game tonight against the Pirates. But, you know, a guy that has a $21 million house bought in the last couple of years, that's not his second home. You know, if he was a billionaire, that would be his second home. So it looked like the writing was on the wall for the last couple of years that he always knew he was coming to L.A.
Dave Pengelor is our guest. How do you build the super team now that Paul George didn't want to go, and it's going to take a lot to get Kawhi? In order to get Kawhi, Popovich and R.C. Buford in San Antonio is going to want at least Ingram, maybe Ingram and Kuzma, Lonzo Ball possibly, and I know LeBron doesn't want to give up all those assets.
Well, then they're just going to have to be what they are then. I've said to a friend of mine yesterday, they're like Cleveland West without Kawhi Leonard or anybody else. They are. They're with LeBron. Kind of is like the Cavaliers roster was when he was on it, except they at least had Kevin Love over there. So the question is, can the Lakers make another major play for another superstar? And they just might not be able to do that, but I think LeBron's going to be okay with that. Again, I think it's a lifestyle play for LeBron coming here with the Lakers. Because remember, he was the first one in. He didn't wait for them to make a move for him to come in. He did it first.
It's a really good point you're making, but the only thing I'll disagree with you on is it's a lifestyle move, no doubt. And year one is a lifestyle move. But he better catch a ring in 4 years with the Lakers. He's not going there behind Kobe and Magic and Kareem and Wilt and Jerry West. He's got to catch a ring at some point, and I think he understands that he's going to have to be the cornerstone of a super team based around Kawhi Leonard, other free agents when they become available. Klay Thompson next year will be a free agent. LeBron's got to be a part of the sales pitch, David, along with Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka. Do you think Magic and LeBron will do that?
And they have another year to do that from a cap space in 2019. And Magic said it last week. You know, so they can do that next year. It doesn't have to be all in right now. They still have next summer to do that, and I think they will be able to pull that off next year because the free agent class next year is pretty good as well.
David, when you look at the move here and what the fans are doing, you're still relatively new to Los Angeles, but you understand the enormity and the size of that market. Did that market have to get someone like this, another big star, even on the back end of his prime, to keep the interest with that organization? Because it's a big difference when the Lakers are 25 to 30 games out of first and they're a 2 or 3 seed in the Western Conference. A lot of fans, they don't give away their tickets, but they're checked out compared to those legendary Laker teams recently of the past.
I think they certainly are excited about it because they were terrible. When was the last time they were in the postseason? 2012 and 2013 year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they had to become relevant again because they were the Orlando Magic out here. But they're still the Los Angeles Lakers, but there is certainly a new buzz now that they got LeBron James on the team. They still sold out the games. It was a thing to do. But now it's all about April and May in the NBA. You guys know that. Everybody that's been watching basketball for the last 10 years, the regular season does not matter. The Lakers will be in the playoffs. They're going to be a 2-3-4 seed. Makes them better, and it puts more exciting level.
Thank you, David. We appreciate it. The line's going out again. We'll talk to you soon down the road. We'll tweet out all your great information. We appreciate David Pingelong joining us. From,
all right, JT.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. From KTLA in Los Angeles, and he's on his way to the Dodger game. That's interesting. That's something I'd like to get into. Again, I have a guest. I want calls. I have a guest. I go to Twitter. I want your opinion on the Lakers now and the patience of the organization after LeBron. Have we lost our mind? Are we getting to the point where we believe that we have to be patient with LeBron James? LeBron's been to 8 straight NBA finals. The finals, not the playoffs. He went to the finals. He's got 3 championship rings. If he's going to Los Angeles and we want to give the Lakers another week to get Kawhi or another free agent, I get it. But for someone to say, okay, we're sitting here in the month of July 2018, and we're going to have to wait till next June or July 2019 for the Lakers to make a splash, I wonder out loud what type of heat LeBron James is going to get. I don't think LeBron is the type of guy who's going to be Jordan. At the end of Jordan's career, he went to Washington, the Wizards. What a downgrade. Are you kidding me? He went from Chicago, 6 championships with the Bulls, to a laughingstock franchise, the Washington Wizards, to play out the end of his career, have a couple of good games, and ride off into the sunset. LeBron's doing the opposite. He's leaving Akron, Ohio for Hollywood. He's leaving the Cleveland Cavalier organization and has one, I repeat, one ring to a Laker franchise that, what, has 15, 16, Bobby? I'll get the total number here. He's going to an upgrade. So for LeBron to go to an upgrade, there's got to be a sense of winning along the way. So you got this combination now of Boogie Cousins freaking people out because the Warriors are better already without Boogie Cousins against LeBron and the Lakers. Now you add Boogie Cousins, and LeBron knows he made the move to L.A., but the Warriors might have completed the sharpest move by getting Boogie Cousins. Now, Cousins could end up being injured again. He's coming back from the blown Achilles. If he comes back and he's not healthy, this is a moot point, this conversation. But guys have come back before, and he's a 4-time All-Star. He's a 4-time All-Star coming to an All-Star team where he could play the 4 or the 5 and help out Kevin Durant when Durant wants to take a rest or Durant is in a different situation where he doesn't want to guard the post. So that move shocked me a bit. And now the other rumor today is that people are wondering about Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler, and if Minnesota and Jimmy Butler can't agree on something super long-term that pays him the max deal, would Jimmy Butler be as good as Kawhi Leonard in regards to an assassin, a mercenary you can bring in? So if the Lakers can't make a move for Kawhi Leonard, how about Jimmy Butler, who seems to be really good and possibly just as good? They're kind of even players to get it done. So social media was stunned last night. The other storyline is supposedly the Lakers and LeBron have sold more jerseys in the last 48 hours than even Kobe the last week of his epic run when he was retiring from the Lakers and put up 60 points in a game down the stretch. So, whoa, what an offseason for the NBA. And LeBron's the biggest name in the league, so he just signed for 4 years. That means, in my mind, we're not going to have another signing this big in 4 years. LeBron's the biggest name in the league. So everyone wonders about Durant next year or Kawhi next year. Not as big as LeBron. LeBron just signed a couple of days ago in Los Angeles. There's not going to be a bigger signing. Don't tell me about next year's offseason with Klay and Kawhi. LeBron became available, and the Lakers pounced. But the Lakers don't have much to convince LeBron that they're going to win anytime soon. So I'm fascinated on how this plays out. If you see the next move in the game of chess that we haven't figured out yet, that move would have been Boogie Cousins, right? Why isn't Boogie Cousins playing for the Lakers for $5.3 million? That's a pretty good move. You play for the Lakers for a year to see if Magic likes you. Then he locks you up long term. Now, Boogie said, I'm ring chasing, baby. I want me a ring. I want diamond rings. I want my name going down as an NBA champion. Alex Rodriguez did it, leaving the Mariners and the Texas Rangers. He only got one with the Yankees, but A-Rod walks into every stadium in baseball now as a broadcaster, as a world champion. He's just got one. All you need is one in any sport. LeBron's got 3. But you better get one in L.A. because you're going to be compared to Wilt, Kareem, Magic, and Kobe. And if they got rings, LeBron's going to have to get at least one, and it doesn't look like that's going to happen this upcoming year. 876-1340, brought to you by the Henderson Hyundai Superstore, the great store on Boulder Highway in Henderson, where value means more. Get on down to Henderson Hyundai, the Superstore, and see all the cars that they have in inventory, pre-owned, new cars, all the special deals, the financing. The staff's incredible. They have a great relationship with Lotus. Lotus has a great relationship with them. They brought us together. I've been down there. It's incredible. The Henderson Hyundai Superstore, right there on Boulder Highway in Henderson. We're also going to get into the World Cup. Spent too many hours today with England. Can't get them back. England through. England advances. And now they're in the easier side of the bracket. They might have a chance to go to the World Cup final. And we'll get into Uruguay, France, Brazil, Belgium. If you're enjoying the World Cup, let us know. You're listening to Fox.
I love it. Man, listen, here's the thing. The NBA does better when the Lakers are at their highest potential. And for the city of L.A., it's important for us to have that star power. Now, look, Jerry was here, Elgin Baylor was here, Wilt was here, Magic was here, Cat was here, Shaq, myself. And now let's carry it forward again, right? You got LeBron here now. It's his turn now. Hopefully he can which he will. He'll take this his franchise back to its prominence, man. So I'm excited. I mean, I bleed purple and gold, and like since I was like 3 years old. You know what I mean? It cuts real deep with me, man. So I'm really excited.
It's Kobe, who was on Fox Sports Radio yesterday morning. JT, back with you from the Lotus Studios of Fox Sports Radio as we continue on here with the Kobe conversation, the LeBron coverage, Boogie Cousins to the Warriors, and what's happening in NBA free agency, which is a really big deal here because we're in the era of super teams, and if you don't pounce quickly in this tiny window of offseason and get better, you're going to be crushed like a bug by the super teams that are left. So you didn't see Boston have to do anything drastic because they have a really good team. I wouldn't call them a super team just yet in the Eastern Conference. Philadelphia, they'll believe anything they say. Philadelphia is out of their minds. They think they're the process and a super team. They're not. The only super team is the Warriors. San Antonio felt like a super team for close to 20 years. From Tim Duncan, David Robinson, Ginobili, Parker, Kawhi, they were very good. And now LeBron James. And did you ever feel that LeBron had a super team with the Cavaliers? I didn't. I thought he had a very good team. When he won the championship and he beat the Warriors in 7 and had to go to Oakland to do it, that was a very good team. Kevin Love's on your team. You're loaded. But that, Kyrie Irving, great player as the point guard, that was close to a super team. But it doesn't compare to what the Warriors are doing. What the Warriors are doing is they're taking their super team and they're humbly shoving it in your face, saying you're not going to beat us if our group decides to stay. Now, what should and could break up the Warriors? That would be division within the leadership roles of the players in the locker room. Just the egos getting out of control because Draymond wants to get paid. Klay would like more money. Steph doesn't think he's getting enough touches. Boogie Cousins comes in, and he could be possibly a cancer. And that could start the Warriors from, I wouldn't say breaking up, but losing it a bit. Remember, the Warriors should have lost last year. Chris Paul got hurt. They would have beat him. They were ahead in Game 7 in an elimination game and had a big lead, and they choked. They lost Game 6, and they lost Game 7 with the lead. And I don't think San Antonio is going to be good anytime soon without Kawhi Leonard. The best they're going to get in return is a couple of draft picks. A couple of tweets coming in also on some of these potential deals that are out there. One report says that the Spurs want Kuzma. This is incredible. Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, and 2 first-round picks. Okay, well, the first-round picks might not be any good because LeBron's there. But you're still getting 2 first-round picks and the Lakers' 2 best young players that they drafted in the last 2 years very highly. Would Magic do that for Kawhi? I think he might. Magic doesn't want to. He wants to wait. But if he can't get Kawhi because he stalls and doesn't give away one of his great young players, Magic's going to have some explaining to do. Eric Pincus is the lead beat reporter now for the Lakers and the Bleacher Report. I talked to him last night about this new look Laker team, what they need to do, the possibility of Kawhi, and now that LeBron James is here.
Well, you can tell their strategy at this point has been to sign guys to one-year deals, right? So they're preserving the Lakers, their money, because next year there's a lot of good free agents, but there's also a lot of competition. Most teams will have a lot of cap room. It's going to be similar, but not quite as dramatic as 2016 when all these bad contracts started. But they're going to have a lot of money next year. I think they need that as a leverage point, because if they don't have money, Kawhi can't say, I only want to be a Laker if they have no means to sign him. So they're making sure they have the ability to sign him next year, and they use that as leverage. Now, Kuzma, in my mind, is the guy that Rob and Magic stole in the draft, and I think he means more to them, maybe, for better or for worse. We could debate the basketball. We should debate, right? We can debate who should be the best, like the guy that the last man standing in the among the kids. But I think because that's like one of the greatest marks on their resume outside of now getting LeBron, I think they want to hold on to Kuzma. I think Jeannie Buss is especially fond of him as a player. And so I think he's the guy that it feels like Ingram is the one. Like, Kuzma's been in the gym basically doing three-a-days in the Lakers gym, doing weight room, doing shooting around, coming back later shooting, working out, everything. Ingram's been doing his thing, but he hasn't been doing it at the Lakers facility. So it just feels like there's some distance there, that if someone's expendable, it's Ingram. At this point, I think they're sticking with Lonzo. I think he's someone who was really good for them. I think LeBron likes the idea of playing with him. But I think Josh Hart could be expendable, as much as they really love Josh Hart. And again, that's a guy they stole in the draft, but they're signing Lance Stephenson. They're signing Rondo.
That's Eric Pincus from last night. So the Lakers look a little bit crazy. Looney called them a little bit wacky with some of the minds they have on that team now. You got Rajon Rondo. You got Lance Stephenson. Remember, he was the guy who used to blow into LeBron's ear. Remember when the Pacers played LeBron in Cleveland, he would blow in his ear? That's LeBron's teammate now. You look around the rest of this team for LeBron James. LeBron had some head cases in Cleveland, too. He had J.R. Smith, who was a head case. And I don't think Tristan Thompson was the most stable guy there. But Pincus told us last night that if one player is going to be moved, it'll probably be Brandon Ingram before Kyle Kuzma, who had a great year last year, because Magic thinks he hit a bigger home run with Kuzma, and it was his pick. That was when he was involved in the team with Rob Pelinka, and they started. That's the guy they're hanging their hat on. But that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about one team, the Lakers, and how they combat the Warriors. And I wish we didn't have to do that. In Vegas, I think it works because, you know, L.A. is very close to Vegas. There's a lot of L.A. fans in Vegas. But the rest of the country, from Antetokounmpo in Milwaukee, Porzingis with the Knicks, Kyle Lowry with Toronto, Kemba Walker in Charlotte, are all looking around today. I hope they're on vacation. I hope they're on a banana boat or taking a cruise somewhere, playing golf. They don't have a chance to win. So how do you sell season tickets? Talked about that the other day with someone in the building. When the Golden Knights went to sell tickets, they needed a group of fans to buy a dream or a vision on maybe they'll be good in 5 years. Probably not, but maybe. Fans stepped up. They bought season tickets. They went to the Stanley Cup Final. How are you going to do this in the NBA with the super teams now and get recurring business from season ticket holders? Again, this is just me personally. If I lived in Charlotte or Detroit or Orlando and they called me up again and said, hey, JT, you've been a season ticket holder for 6 seasons. You got a 17 and a 15-year-old son. We need your deposit for your $12,000. I'd say, no. Take me off the list, but keep my name, and I'll buy them maybe in 2 years. I may be down the road, but you guys suck, and I'm not going to buy tickets as the Warriors are building a bleeping super team. Unless you can get anybody for the Orlando Magic, how do you expect me to write you a check for $12,000? For these home games. And rich people can do that. That's what's going on with the Raiders. And that's what's going on with the Vegas Golden Knights. The people I know that are buying tickets have the money, have the expendable money to do it. And say, I hope the Raiders and Gruden are going to win. They should. I hope the Knights keep winning. I'll write another check for $30,000 for my luxury suite. Try doing that in the NBA in probably 20 markets. Like Portland. There's not a lot to do in Portland for professional sports other than the Blazers, right? So maybe you're cool spending money. I wouldn't spend $20,000. I would put it in an investment before I'd give it to the Portland Trailblazers when they can't get anybody. And that's what I'm noticing. I'm noticing the economic impact of LeBron in L.A. and what the Warriors are building as they move from Oakland into San Francisco to the newest arena in all of professional sports, where technically they're going to have more money to go out and go bigger. 876-1340 on Twitter, at JT the Brick. We have a soccer guest joining us next who knows the World Cup inside and out. We'll get to him and talk about that with Tom Viola. He's the host of the Soccer Betting Hour over on NBC 920 and the broadcast coordinator for the LV Lights FC. So excited to talk to him about the local soccer flavor and what he thinks about the World Cup coming up next.
Neymar cutting inside, cutting it back. Willian, a touch. His shot rolled through traffic and stabbed in by Neymar. Brazil finally the breakthrough.
Yeah, I believe Brazil's the best team. I picked them before the tournament started. They're a heavy favorite, but they're in a tough bracket. Welcome back, JT, with you as we talk World Cup soccer. Tom Viola, kind enough to join us over from NBC 920 The Game and the broadcast coordinator for the LV Lights FC. And Tom, first off, I'm sure you're enjoying it. I watched the England game today against Colombia. It was slow, very plodding, unentertaining, but England advances on penalties.
I thought that it was exciting. I missed part of the middle of the game. I had to be down at the office for some of it, but the beginning was very back and forth. And then at the end, I honestly was amazed England was able to pull it out, because when they let up that goal in the 95th minute to tie it, I thought that was it. This is England doing what they do and choking away yet another golden opportunity to advance in the cup.
Can you imagine if they choked that game, to give up a goal, the tying goal in stoppage time, and then go to penalties? You know, all of England was sitting back going, here we go again, we're going to screw this up. How big of a relief is that for England now, who gets Sweden next and avoids the other side of the bracket with Brazil?
Well, I personally, when they lost to Belgium, I thought they were the real winners from that game getting onto this side of the bracket. Mm-hmm. And then once Spain lost in that shocker to Russia, I really thought that whoever won this game, whoever, whether it was Colombia or England, had the best shot to get all the way to the final now, because you look at the rest of the field, and especially with the fact that England has kind of shaken the monkey off their back now, they finally won a World Cup penalty shootout. This is a team that has the belief now, they have the talent, and they don't have the pressure and the expectations that a lot of previous England teams have had, and have brought a lot of those England teams down in the end.
Tom Viola is our guest. I agree with everything you just said there. The pressure is off them now that they've advanced and they have opponents coming up that they should be able to beat without pressure looming all over them with this young squad. Let's take a look at a couple of the other teams that are still alive now that we're all set up and we're ready for games picking up on Friday, July 6th. Uruguay and Brazil, with Suarez up front and the way Uruguay has been able to score and play some solid defense, I still think Brazil has the best athletes in the world. Talk about that matchup.
Actually, Uruguay is playing France, not Brazil.
Uruguay, France. You got that. Yes, and France has been on an unbelievable roll with their comeback win. Break that down for us.
Well, I think the biggest thing for France is that they are experiencing a golden generation of talent, where you have Griezmann, you have Lamar, you have Mbappe, who is just at 19 years old. This kid is already amazing, and he really does have the chance to take that mantle from Messi and Ronaldo, especially now that they're out of the cup and France is still in it. He could make his mark in this cup, and I really do see them beating a Uruguay team that is very good and plays well together. But France is a team that's kind of been through some of these paces now, and I could see them making it all the way to the final and winning the whole thing, just based off the talent and the grit that they've shown in some of their games.
Tom Viola is our guest. Tom, I thought Belgium's comeback win against Japan, especially that final goal, when they were able to go the length of the field after the missed opportunity on the set piece for Japan, that sets them up with Brazil. A lot of people feel that has the feel of the final, of the World Cup final, if they were in separate brackets. Who do you like, Belgium or Brazil, moving forward?
I'm with you. I think that Brazil is the team that has shown the most so far in this tournament. That game against Mexico was really important for me because of the big teams that were favored to start, they're the only ones that have had that have had the ability and that have shown that they can play against other teams that are that good. Belgium, they struggled a lot against Japan. That game shocked me, and certainly shades of 2010 Landon Donovan's goal to advance the United States. But I just don't see Belgium finishing out in this game. Yes, they have a golden generation of talent, but their coach is Roberto Martinez. I'm an Everton fan myself. I've seen Everton show so much promise and then only to let you down in the end. I see Martinez carrying that on here, and I see Brazil making it to the final.
Tom Viola joins us as we wrap it up. Check out his show on NBC, 920, The Game, Soccer Betting Hour. He's the host of that show. Real interesting on Croatia and Russia. I said this from the beginning, following it as closely as I do nationally, how corrupt Russia is in getting the Sochi Olympic Games and getting the World Cup. You are corrupt. The history of FIFA, the modern history, let alone the history of the World Cup, usually goes to the highest bidder. There are payoffs along the way. There is corruption. And now Russia, not only the corrupt host nation, their team advances this far. How good is Russia? They admitted they wanted just to play for penalties in that last game, and it worked.
I mean, when you go up against a team like Spain and you know that you have the talent deficit that Russia has in that matchup, playing for penalties is the best way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the Russian government definitely had a hand. Of course, both this World Cup and the Qatar World Cup have been rife with controversy about how they were awarded to the host nations, and it's why the 2026 World Cup completely changed the way that they complete that whole process, and that's how the United States, Mexico, and Canada got that one. But as far as host nations go in the tournament, I don't see this like 2002 South Korea, where the fix was definitely in for them. They got a lot of more than generous calls to make the run that they did. I see Russia as more, they've been the surprise of the tournament. Lowest ranked team coming in, and all of a sudden to get where they did. Yeah, there were a few questionable calls, but we have VAR now. There's better ways for the refs to get calls right. And overall, they have impressed in the games I've seen. I think the road stops here, though. I think Croatia is a better team than they are. But as far as a host nation goes, Russia went from will they be terrible in the tournament to one of the biggest Cinderella stories.
Tell us about Las Vegas Lights FC, what it's been like so far, the community growth, the kids, the diehard fans that are locking in, especially the interest with World Cup and your team now locally. How much fun are you having in this position?
I cannot believe it. I'm 23 years old. I got the call on a Friday, and the next week I was out here in Vegas for the first time ever to work for this brand new team. And my very first day of work was the first preseason match against an MLS team. And just the fans that have shown up, we sold out one of the preseason games. The fans are just diehard in the community. And it's just been beyond belief, the support that they're getting, the excitement from these matches. The owner, Brett Lashbrook, said that he didn't want this team to be normal. He wanted them to go out and play an exciting brand of football. And they've absolutely been doing that. I've been floored to be a part of the whole movement, and I'm excited for the future for soccer here in Vegas.
Yeah, sounds great. You're in a great position, and you know, you had balls to move out here and take a job. A lot of people that I know in this business, that's the key. You get an opportunity to go through a door, you kick the door open and walk through it, and you're obviously doing that. Tell us about your show over on 920.
So on 920 The Game, we're doing every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. It's the Las Vegas Soccer Betting Hour. We're talking about the lights. We're talking about the odds. Right now, it's all been the World Cup nonstop, breaking down each and every game, what we, my co-host Carson Merck and I think is going to happen, the smart bets to make, things that we're looking to see. The hardest part's been betting on MLS because it's so dang unpredictable, but it's been an incredible time, and we run a great show. And if you don't want to catch it at 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning, maybe you're not up, you can catch it on a podcast. Just search it on whatever podcast platform you prefer, Las Vegas Soccer Betting Hour.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Happy we're able to meet. Hopefully we can get you in studio here in the next couple of weeks and go into the
Would
final four.
Do it.
Yeah, we'll do it again. Thank you. Have a great night.
You too.
All right, Tom Viola. Check him out on NBC 920. This, to me, comes down to Brazil and what happens in this upcoming game and how they get through Belgium. If they're able to do that, I think the winner of Brazil-Belgium has a great opportunity. And that Uruguay-France game is enormous because France was very explosive in their last game. You know, when you get to the final, the Elite Eight in the NCAA tournament, you could have an easier bracket, right? You could have an easier road. You still got to beat Duke. You still got to beat Kansas to win it. You still got to play the best team. And I'm noticing that in the World Cup, that certain teams like England would rather take the easier road because they know if they run into Brazil in the round of eight, they're out. Do you like that? He enjoyed it. My DNA is not about that. I'm a Yankee fan. If I got to beat the Astros, I want to play the Astros sooner than later. I don't want to wait. Other people want to see the easier bracket, and we're seeing that in the World Cup. We're not seeing that with LeBron going west. LeBron left the easy bracket of the Eastern Conference to go west and try to win again. Not a lot of people think he's going to be able to get that done. Happy hour right here at the top of the hour. I got one of my best friends in town, and we went to the SG Bar, midnight to 2 happy hour. You think it's 5 to 7? It is. Your typical happy hour. Get there at midnight to 2. All the drink specials, the food specials, the SG Bar at 215 in Flamingo, or all the PTs throughout the valley. Lot of baseball to catch up on. We'll get to that next. This is Fox.
Edelman along with Mitchell to the right. Third and goal to go. Brady identifies the mic. Tom waits on the snap and takes it. Backs up, bouncing on his feet. Looks down the middle. Throws down the middle. Touchdown, Edelman! One more score for the Patriots.
Start
in
the
AFC Championship.
Start the buses, baby. Pittsburgh can call the buses. Bus 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Tell them heat them up. You're going back to the Berg.
Well, Julian Edelman made news today. The breaking news, according to Adam Schefter from ESPN, New England wide receiver Julian Edelman, his appeal was denied today. So Julian Edelman will serve a 4-game suspension for performance-enhancing drugs. Now, this is a big deal to me because it's a part of the Patriots and some of the mistakes that they've made with Spygate, Deflategate, performance-enhancing drugs, and some of the other issues that are there. So you can look at this and assume, you could assume that the Patriots and Julian Edelman have been a cheater for a while. Now, we might not be right. You might say, no, you can't assume that. The Patriots are clean. And I'd come back and say, no, that little guy, Julian Edelman, who looks like he's ripped like a little bodybuilder, like some freak on some bodybuilding reality show, just got popped for performance-enhancing drugs. What happens if he was doing it the last 2 years? He made the biggest catch in the Super Bowl since David Tyree of the New York Giants did in 2007. Remember, Edelman triple-teamed Brady in a moment of desperation, throws it across the middle. It looks like it's going to get intercepted and tipped. Edelman picks it up right before it hits the ground and makes what ends up being the catch of the Super Bowl, which tied the game and gave the Patriots the ability to win the game. So let's have fun for a second. Let's assume that Julian Edelman had performance-enhancing drugs pumping through his veins when he made that catch that won a Super Bowl. You think that's a big story? You think that's an important story and relevance when it comes to the history of the NFL? Bobby says no. He's shaking his head. See, because you Patriot fans don't believe you do anything wrong. You Patriot fans say no. We're the best. You're jealous. We're allowed to do certain things like Spygate, Deflategate, Julian Edelman, Tom Brady. Remember, Tom Brady will be the only Hall of Famer to get inducted into the Hall of Fame with a 4-game suspension from the NFL because of Deflategate. Think of all the quarterbacks. I'll name them for you if you want. You got a minute? John Elway, Dan Marino, Joe Montana. I'll go down the list of all the Sammy Baugh, all the greatest quarterbacks to ever play. Brett Favre, who's made some mistakes, none of them kicked out of the league. No one actively serving a suspension, putting on a gold coat, getting inducted with his bus next to him. Tom Brady does. Don't care. Yep, Bobby doesn't care because he's a Patriot fan with a Red Sox cap on. Doesn't care. You care about winning, and your team continues to win. So Edelman focused on two key issues in his appeal, which was heard on June 25th. The first was that the substance that he tested positive for wasn't one of the league's drug testers, one of the ones that they recognized. The second, according to a source, involved mishandling of the documentation and the delivery of the test results. And that's why you have to have a really strong chain of command when you have those results, not only the results, but the actual samples. You got to make sure that you do it correctly. That hour flew by. Thanks to our guest, David Pingelor, who joined us from KTLA in Los Angeles on LeBron James and what's going on with the Lakers. And Tom Viola, who checked in. He was really good. From the Las Vegas Soccer Betting Hour and the LV Lights FC on the World Cup. It's more about Boogie and LeBron here at the top of the hour with Looney and myself. We'll get into the World Cup, some of the other baseball scores here. Looney with updates at the top and bottom of the hour. Off for the 4th of July, back on Thursday and Friday, as we have two more shows coming up for you the remainder of the week. I'm off to Tahoe for the Gene Upshaw Memorial Golf Classic, which I'm very excited to MC and be a part of that on Monday. Have a great night if you're in Vegas. If you're listening in Vegas and staying with us for the next 3 hours, JT the Brick Show with Tom Looney coming up next. Thanks to the Henderson Hyundai Superstore, PTs, and the whole team at Golden Entertainment. God, get that MyPillow. MyPillow.com. Code word is Brick.